always, let's keep these on our prayer list and our prayers. And I don't know if everybody knew, but Nell had a spell last Tuesday and was admitted in the hospital. And I don't know the details of it, but she's out now, doing well. And she was having physical therapy this morning, and Bill called me this morning and said if they felt like it, they'd be back this afternoon. So let's keep Nell and Bill in our prayers also. And let's keep the ones in Providence Place, Katie Hensley and Mr. and Mrs. Leathers and Brother Jimmy Mabry at Diversity Care. And Iris Castile had staples removed Tuesday and is waiting for a few weeks yet to find out. Okay, Robert, explain to me what this is. She had from her right hand and is waiting for a few weeks yet. So let's keep Sister Iris in our prayers. Also, Wayne Lester of Thyatira, you have an update on that?
The update is that he was going to the doctor to find out more in regard to what this involved, and he was going on with it.
Okay.
He was going on with the surgery.
All right. Let's keep Wayne Lester in our prayers, too. During the storm, rainstorm last week, October 9th, we had a leak in the roof, and I think we know what the problem is now. One of the tarpons came off, so hopefully we'll get that fixed in the next few days. Yeah, Cynthia and Tiffany noticed it last Saturday, and anyway, hopefully we won't have any bad rains till we get it fixed. And please add to our prayer list, sister-in-law of Sandy Croft, Joyce Laughlin, who is going to doctors to find out what causes her pains along the spine and her back. And Sandy, do you have any update on that? No? Okay. Let's keep her in our prayers also. Mm-hmm. And let's keep the ones in our prayers that on the coast from Hurricane Delta last week, and we've been working with other congregations to send help down that way. So we've been supporting this effort for a bunch of years. Anytime there's a storm or something, this congregation has helped supporting that in that cause. Next week, the Spirit's Word annual Bible lectureship will be conducted at 1511 Getwell Road, and that is from September 18th through what, Robert?
24.
Okay. And it begins at 6:30 on Sunday, I believe, and then 7 p.m. during the week. Mm-hmm. Are there any more announcements? If not, what is this, Robert, here? Is that on the board back there?
That's on the table back there.
Okay.
The people with the orphans around the world sent to us a number of reports that people could have. We as a congregation decided to send at least $1,000 to them. And so that'll be discussed even further, I'm sure, tonight in our men's meeting time. And that is available to everybody. You take one, if you would, please.
Okay. These are on the table in the foyer. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to pick one up. And I think it's got a place on the back for a donation, but we will be supporting this effort too. Yeah. So if no more now, we'll begin our service and song. See everyone this morning.
Yeah.
Let's open our song books to number 426. 426.
It's good to have you back as well for more reasons than one.
Well, we enjoyed ourselves while we were gone, but there's no place like home.
No.
No place like home. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim.
Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows, love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, praise him, tell his excellent greatness. Praise him, praise him, every joyful song. Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, light with bells and a string. Jesus, Savior, reign forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming, o'er the world victorious, power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, praise him, ever in joyful song.
Amen.
Number 433. For those who can, let's stand. And after this song, we'll be led in prayer by Brother Jim.
Pure in heart, O God, help me to thee. May I devote my life wholly to thee. Watch that my way be. Many blessings on our
people who take care of us, the police and the armies, and that they would be saved and they would be kept in an orderly way, and that we would always have peace if it be that way. We ask you now to go with us throughout this day and throughout our lives, and that you will give us a home in heaven if it be that way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 337. 337.
Jesus Christ illustrated by means of this, the Passover time, and he meant for it to be changed into remembrance of him, that his body was
broken for us. And thus he offered to his disciples this bread and said, take ye and eat of it, for this is my body. And this is what we're doing today as we remember that he bore our sins in his own body. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy love and care. We thank thee, Father, for this, which is a memorial feast, a remembrance of what Jesus did for each one of us, lost in sin and wrongdoing. We find ourselves being made free. By this bread that we eat today, we're reminded of what he did for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The Heavenly Father obviously knew that a complete sacrifice was necessary for man's sins to be covered and cleansed from him. He used this as a reminder to the memorial feast of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us for the remission of our sins. To that extent, we find ourselves thinking about what sin cost. And let us pray to that end. Our Father, as we partake of this cup, help us to be reminded of the hurt of sin, the depth of sin, and how that it is cleansed completely from us as we become New Testament Christians. This we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. Though it is not part of the Lord's Supper itself, it is a convenient time for us to give back to the Lord as he asked of us to do, and as Paul reminded the brethren at Corinth that he had given order to the church of Galatia, so do you on the first day of the week. Let each one of you lay by him in stores God's prosperity. This is to be used for work not only here, but also around the world. Our kind Father in heaven, we thank thee for the jobs that we have, for the opportunities that we have from day to day, and we're prayerful that if we who give today will give cheerfully and factually. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have 22 present this morning. Today is October 18th, 2020, for taping purposes. If you would, at this time, let's mark our song books at number 710. 710 will be the song of invitation after our lesson this morning. Once you've marked that, let's turn to number 446. 446. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, and the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, and the glory, revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, and the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, and the glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, and the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, and the glory, revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be
working with young people and teaching young people in our homes and families, we would be remiss if we did not teach them the joy that is involved in our salvation from sin and our hope of heaven itself hereafter this earthly life is over. Convincing them of that idea in the midst of situations causes us to look in the Bible and see various parts about it that talks about that kind of joy. The kind of joy that is summed up in the word gladness. In Acts chapter 2 and in verse 46, we read where the disciples on this day of Pentecost had 3,000 souls added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and the breaking of bread and prayers. And notice that it is said, particularly in verse 46, they did eat their food with gladness and singleness of heart. They were glad and they were thankful that they were together. They began to serve one another and help those that were less fortunate among them by those who were more blessed in life. And the opportunity that they had to do that was quickly brought back in mind to them. And it talked about how that the disciples so cared for one another. The beginning of the Lord's church there in Acts chapter 2. In reference to this matter, we find that they were people who had a great hope in the Lord. Much like Jesus had taught them that his disciples should be in Matthew 18 verses 1 through 4. As members of the kingdom, that they would be like this little child that was brought before him.
And they pointed out that this little child was here, and that others didn't want them to be disturbed and so forth. And Jesus said, "Forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Who can forget the laugh of a little child? The joy of a Christmas day, the joy of a birthday, the joy of seeing some grandma and grandpa for the first time in a long while. Who can forget the way of smiles and the way of joy that is a part of their laugh? A unique laugh. Sometimes it's carried all the way through life. And sometimes it's just for that innocence and that young time that that laugh is remembered. That nevertheless is a part of life. When we look up the word gladness and great gladness, we look up the adjective to it. The adjective of being glad in regard to what we are, experiencing and exhibiting joy and pleasure, providing joy and pleasure, being pleased and willing and of a cheerful disposition. That's from the American Heritage Dictionary. And the emphasis being given by you and me today is the idea of providing joy and cheerful disposition in life to others. And so as children grow, we find that way being a way of teaching and guidance to their way of life. It is said in James 4 and verse 6 that God resisteth the proud, but giveth more grace unto the humble. We can find a great joy in teaching that that's the way of life to follow. So that we can see that the proud are not good before God. The proud way of life is not a good way of life to follow. It is noted regarding God and our people of Acts chapter 14 and verse 17 that He was filling men's hearts with gladness and joy. As they were saved from sin and guided them to a better way of life, He was filling men's hearts with gladness and joy. When you find that gladness in life, you find a gift of God. You find a way by which they live and which they practice life. And we find a gladness when we find sickness and we have a medicine that's prescribed for us to take that does remedy and help that situation to be abated. We find ourselves in times of illness having the idea of being recovered from that, a time of gladness on the part of those who may be in the hospital or may be at home again and may be mended from that time of sickness. We find ourselves diagnosing that particular thing and seeing that the medicines taken according to prescription and the type of things that are being done make us glad that there's recovery possible. There's recovery that can be there. And teaching our children to pray to that end and be a person who does not get to the point of saying, "Well, there's no answer for this. There's no real future in this." That even when a person comes to the point of death, there is nevertheless hope that the Lord God of heaven has laid up for those who serve Him. It is noted regarding this matter that David said in Psalms 122 at verse 1, "I was glad when they came unto me and said, Come, let us go up to the house of the Lord." The house of the Lord and the gathering of worship is a part of God's great plan. Jesus said regarding that plan in John chapter 4 and verse 22 that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that He seeks such to worship Him. He seeks people who are in gladness and joy of worshiping God, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He seeks them. Is God seeking you today? Yes, in this service and in this time. He's seeking us to be people who follow His will and do His way and enjoy that relationship that we have with Him. It is said regarding Jesus and His mission and His work in Hebrews 1 and at verse 9. That the Heavenly Father looked at His mission and looked at the success of His mission, and that He found Himself anointing His Son with the oil of gladness. The oil of gladness was from the heart of God the Father toward His Son, who gave Himself for mankind, taught mankind the teaching that He did, and gave Himself for mankind. In the resurrection, that was hope. In the resurrection, that was joy. There was going to be a day of accountability for those who had put Him there. But they could be changed. And on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Simon Peter tells them that very thing. He says, "You by the hands of the wicked and lawless have taken and crucified Him, the Lord of glory." They were pricked in their hearts when they heard this. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what must we do? What shall we do?" They were told to repent of this thought. Change your mind about what you did. Change your mind with how you mistreated Jesus. And in changing your mind about this, be baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of this Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They would receive that gift because the Holy Spirit would stand to bear record with their spirit that they are become the children of God. You read that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. And so as they came to obey the gospel, they had the Comforter to come within them, within their inner man, their inner person. It might be a wise thing to think of this thought now, that we have two within us. We have the outer man that you see, that I see, that can be hurt, it can be pained, it can be bothered, can suffer disease and even death. But there's an inner person. There's an inner person within each of us. That inner person is a part of our heart of hearts. Not our physical heart, but our heart that is within us. Our depth is within us. That depth that He said in Acts chapter 14 and verse 17, that He fulfilled the hearts with gladness and joy. He fulfills the heart. He gives more and more to the heart. When Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly," He was saying, "I have come that you might have life," in the sense of living activities of this life and activities of your activity life. In your marriages and in your home and in your rearing of children and all that goes along with grandchildren and all that goes along with the great joy that you have in that makes us glad. But more than that, He says in this regard, that you might live this life with abundance. Abundance, looking at the joy that it provides, looking at the great joy that you can supply to the lives of others. What can a gift on a child's birthday reward them with? More than that bicycle, more than that tricycle, more than that push car, more than that whatever it is that they wanted. What can be there to be more helpful to them? Make them glad that you're part of this family. Glad of the art of this life. Miss you when you're not there anymore. Would it not be the idea of joy that is planted and gladness that is planted within that heart? Now, what can be planted within that heart that's besides joy? Well, in living the Christian life, we find that there's a great sense of things that we want to do that we can plant within that heart. But we have not planted enthusiasm. That word enthusiasm, and enthus, in meaning within, and God, thuos, in with God, enthusiasm, is the way of life that people go. As they go in life with a great sense of gladness, they find themselves enthused about living and enthused about the deeds of life. They find themselves in a garden that's been doing good and doing well, to be glad that it is, because not only can they serve themselves, but they can help others as well. There are needs and circumstances that are there. Rudyard Kipling was quite an author in years gone by. He said that even each one teaches. not for money or prestige, but for the joy of teaching. When you find an opportunity to serve, an opportunity to give, an opportunity to do good, it brings within each heart that particular idea that I have God within, enthusiasm, that I can do this now, and hopefully I can do this yet again. When we find ourselves in the worship of God, we ought to leave that place with a great deal of enthusiasm, God within, the idea of joy. Because we find ourselves worshiping God in spirit and in truth, and that spirit, instead of being defamed and sad and without, is a spirit that's built up and joyful and happy, pleased and looking forward to that time of, as the song says, living with Him. What will cause us to be bothered by that? What will cause us not to have that? If our mind is somewhere else in the midst of what we're doing, what's liable to happen? If you're cooking and your mind is way out yonder somewhere and not with the elements that you're putting together to make up the pie or cake or whatever, what's liable to happen? I won't remember if I put enough, if I put any salt in that, if I put any of the right flavors in that. I just don't remember if I did or not, but I'll go on anyway. And some people have found out through the years that that is just not the best thing to have done, because that is not good. It does make us joyful when we have that to be done. My mind goes back many years ago now to the first few years that I was privileged to be preaching at Ruble, Mississippi, down in the Delta in Sunflower County. The brethren always were talking about having a preacher for lunch, and I wasn't married at that particular time. And so in the process, this older couple came out. It was a mother and her daughter. And she said, "Would you go home with us today and eat lunch?" And I said, "I'll be delighted to, glad to." "Well, after you get through here shaking hands with everybody and everything, we'll go on and we'll have it ready for you." And so that brought about patiently shaking hands with people and talking with those who wanted to talk a little further about the lesson that day or something like that. Finally, I got out to the car and I got in the car and I drove out to the farm where they were. She was delighted to tell me, the daughter was, that Mama has fixed the blueberry cobbler for lunch today. "Don't eat much of the rest of the fried chicken and the baked potatoes and one thing or another. You want to have this right here." She always does such a great job with it. She was kind of outspoken young lady, and for that she never married, and she passed away just a few years ago, but a delight to be around and hear her talk about things like that. And I said, I'll guard myself about other things, and I'll wait till the time that comes out of the kitchen. Her mother liked to bring things out in order. First to be the potatoes, then would be the chicken, then would be the bread. And finally, she said, "It's time for our dessert." "And Mama, I was ready for you to say that," she said. And with that, she hit the right door to the kitchen, and she came out with something that looked like a, sure enough, blueberry cobbler. I didn't know much about blueberries, but I knew what my grandma and my mama had done about blueberries, and I knew that that was a flavor and a good flavor to it. And I was anxious to have this, the bite of this good that was there. I didn't get the first bite, but she did, the daughter did. And she oohed and oh, and she said, "Mama, you didn't put the sugar in this." And blueberries without sugar has a tart flavor at best. And she said, "Oh, don't tell me I didn't do that." With that, she grabbed a spoonful herself and said, "Oh, you're right, I didn't." I don't know what got in my mind. I don't know what happened to me. With that, she went to the sugar bowl and she brought the sugar bowl back in and she began to add sugar to the blueberry pudding, cobbler. She stirred and stirred and she tasted again. She did empty that whole sugar bowl, and it was a nice size sugar bowl. And she stirred and stirred and stirred with it, and it never did taste right. It never did taste sweet. A few weeks later, she said, "I added the sugar today. Would you please come back and try this again?" And I did, of course. You know, the days and times in which that was a story and a time which we could remember that was one of the times that we brought that joy. She was human to us. We loved her for it. And she was a great person and a grand person. There are some things that you need to do as you go along through life. And one is to get that enthusiasm of life and added to it the gladness that God intends for us to have. And thus it is with us today, the opportunity to offer an invitation time to anyone necessary to come back to the ways of the Lord or to be a part of the ways of the Lord. Don't forget the idea that God loves and cares for us and that He fills our heart with gladness as we serve Him, Acts 14 and verse 17. Would you be blessed of God today as we stand together and sing this song of invitation?
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can
Sunday of the month before our men's meeting tonight, guess what we do? After our singing time,
We'll have singing tonight. There will be all kinds of these songs in the book that will be utilized that we haven't sung in quite a while this evening at 6 o'clock. Look forward to you being here and being a part of that singing time. We'll invite folks to come around from Senatobia. Maybe they can find their way out here right now and be a part of this thing with us. God bless you.
Let's turn our books to page number 512. 512. Faith of our Father,
living still, in spite of dungeon fire and sword. Oh, how our heart beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our Father's holy faith, we will be true to
Son, Father, we're grateful that he came and died for our sins. And we do fall short sometimes, Father. When we do, Father, we pray that you'll forgive us. Father, as we leave here today, we pray that you'll be with us and keep us safe. And Father, we pray that you'll guide us in each and every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.